Sí.
Good morning. Just remind the audience that you're free to come and go as you please during the argument, but please do not talk while you're in the courtroom, even in between cases. We have four argued cases this morning. The first of these is number 162140, Droplets, Inc. versus Mattel. Mr. Geiser.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. The Board invalidated two critical claims of Droplets' groundbreaking patent on four separate grounds. It used scant reasoning or no reasoning, and the Director has not even tried to defend three of those grounds on appeal. For multiple reasons, the single remaining ground fails as well. As we've explained in our brief, the Board simply misconstrued the critical claims of the droplet patent. Under Claim 2, the invention requires storing on the client computer.
In the blue brief at 1, you limit your appeal to Claims 6 and 20.
That's correct. Okay.
It appears that your brief primarily focuses on the link and reestablishing limitations found in 2 and 16. What unique claim language from Claims 6 and 20 do you rely on?
Your Honor, we're focusing on the deficiencies in Claim 2. Claim 6 is a dependent claim that relies on Claim 2, and the Board only invoked those four grounds for invalidating Claim 6. So under just basic APA principles under Chenery, the Board's decision has to stand or fall on its stated rationale. And its stated rationale found the critical claims of both Claims 1, 2, and 6, relying on those four grounds and only those four grounds.
I'm sorry.
You're arguing.
Go ahead. What unique claim language? You didn't tell me.
We're not focusing on the claim language in Claim 6, Your Honor. We're focusing on the claim language in Claim 2. Claim 6 is a dependent claim, and so unless the elements of Claim 2 are also obvious, using the references...
So are you trying to revive Claims 2 and 16?
No, Your Honor. We're focusing on Claim 6. And to be very clear about what happened below, the Board
What's the language?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
What's the language you're relying on? What's missing? A link?
It's a link for reestablishing the communication connection to the host computer. So it's not a simple URL. It's not a static call to a website.
Why is it not a simple URL?
Your Honor, a simple URL was described in the second column of the patent in the background section. And it was described to explain the prior art and to identify deficiencies in the prior art.
Is a URL a link?
A URL is not a link for purposes of the droplets
patent. But in ordinary parlance, it's a link, right?
In some sense, Your Honor. But just last week in Ray Smith International, the court explained that terms don't have their generic meaning. It'd be one thing if droplets said a link is a generic meaning, and that's the definition we're using for this patent. That's not
suppose
what
that were, suppose we do say that that's the meaning it should have. Do you lose?
I don't think so, Your Honor, because it still wouldn't be a link for reestablishing the communication connection. So I think that, again, that is the use of the word the here is very important. It relies back to the antecedent terms in the first claim, where it's not a simple matter of calling back a website, returning to where you once were. It's reestablishing a specific communication connection with a specific host computer.
Help me out here. Where in the record did you make a claim construction argument regarding link or reestablishing limitation, either to the PTAB or indeed in the blue brief?
Oh, Your Honor, it's throughout the PTAB proceedings. It was the core basis of every submission to the board. It's why the director hasn't argued waiver here. It's clear that the claim construction.
What were your offered constructions?
The construction that we use is that a link is an interactive.
What were your offered construction in the records? What was it?
Your Honor, there wasn't a Markman type proceeding because this was an inter-party reexamination. Uh-huh. So it's a little different than an IPR, a normal IPR. So
there was no offered construction. Is what you're saying to me? Right?
No, there were constructions.
Okay. What was it? Where is it in the record?
This was cited in our brief. I can on rebuttal. I'll find the exact page All right. So you can see it. But the critical point is throughout the entire proceeding, it was absolutely clear that the core difference between the examiner and droplets and then now between the board and droplets is that a link is an interactive link that has specific functionality that is markedly different than a URL. And again, Your Honor, the director does not
markedly
argue waiver
different.
And doesn't.
How from a URL?
I'm sorry?
How different? In what way?
It's different in every material way, Your Honor. A URL...
URL is a link in ordinary parlance. It establishes a link to a particular website, right?
A URL establishes a link to a website, but that is not what the interactive link in the Droplets patent does. And I think that I'm using that word deliberately.
What else does it do?
What it does is this is how the patent works. Maybe if I take a step back, it'll make it clearer for the court. That under the Droplets claims in 1 and 2, which, again, are the core foundation for Claim 6, you first access a content server where you download a link. This is embedded program code that then is installed on the client device. That link then establishes a specific communication connection with an application server. So when you return to that
link... How is that not establishing a link?
Again, Your Honor, the link is just a static website. It's like typing in www.uspto.gov. It just brings you to the home page of a website. This does far more than that.
But a link isn't a location. It's a function. It takes you to a location.
It takes you to a location, but again, that is what the ordinary parlance in the Windows secret link does. And this is what we described in column 2 of our patent in the background section, which we then criticized for being deficient and not accomplishing what the modern online world needs, which is an ability to click an interactive link to go directly to the application server, where you don't have to revisit a web page, you don't have to go back to the home page. The functionality is there. It resumes the past session.
You want us to narrow the interpretation or the construction of establishment of a link, but we're looking at giving the most reasonable, broadest interpretation to the board, correct?
The standard is the broadest reasonable construction. This construction is enormously broad, but it's not at all reasonable. In the patent, the construction that the board
uses... It's unreasonable because of what it says in the specification about URLs?
What it says in the specification about URLs, what it says throughout...
Take out of the equation what this language in the specification. Do you agree that the broadest reasonable construction would include a URL?
No, I do not, Your Honor.
You do not?
A URL is not sufficient in the language of claims 1, 2, or 6. And again, because if you look, a URL is not a link.
I'm having trouble getting that out of the language of the claim. I understand your argument about the specification, but I don't understand your argument based on the claim language.
Well, Your Honor, it's the broadest reasonable construction in light of the specification. You don't just focus myopically on the claim.
That's what I asked you. I asked you to put aside the language in the specification. On its face, the language of Claim 2 would cover a URL, right?
I don't believe so, Your Honor, and if I can explain why. It says storing on the client computer a link for reestablishing the communication connection. A communication connection in the patent, you can see this in Figure 3, it's an iterative process. It's not a single static call. It opens up an open transmission channel so that inputs go back and forth automatically. And if you look at Figure 3, I think this is very important. It explains how, and this is on page... I believe it's let me try to get it for you. It's 673 of the record. Once the connection is initiated, it continues until it's terminated. That is entirely different than static URL calls, and that is what a communication connection is. So a link that just pulls up a web page is not initiating the type of communication connection.
Apart from your attorney argument, do you have any evidence, any evidentiary support why a link cannot be a URL?
Well, Your Honor, I don't think it's an attorney argument any more than any claim construction that relies on
But it does seem to me that you're making arguments now that you didn't properly or sufficiently tee up before the board, and you're looking to shoehorn those arguments here on appeal.
Oh, I respectfully disagree, Your Honor. This was the same argument.
Well, then point to the evidentiary support.
Well, again, Your Honor, this wasn't a type of claim construction that requires outside expert testimony. It simply requires reading the patent and the claims in light of the specification. The board's entire support...
Well, that's having a problem, because the language of the claim seems to include a URL.
Well, Your Honor, again, I don't think it does, because if you clicked on...
Attorney argument.
Well, it may be, Judge Wallach, but let me see if I can argue and convince you that I'm right. The way it would work if you had a simple URL is you'd click on the homepage and it would bring you back to the main site. It doesn't open a transmission channel. The actual transmission channel that goes straight to an application server. And again, this is directly in the language of Claim 2. It has to reestablish the communication connection. That's a connection that was established earlier in Claim 1. It has to retrieve the presentation information and present the application and the content. Those, are antecedent terms that are looking back to the original transmission channel.
It says a link for reestablishing the communication connection to the host computer. That a URL doesn't do that?
No, it doesn't establish a communication connection to a host computer. It's a static call. It would pull up the main home page, but it doesn't create the type of communication connection that's defined.
Let me ask you this. I'm old-fashioned. I use a modem. It has interference, and I drop the website, and I click on the URL again. It's just a regular old URL. And I pull up the website again. Have I reestablished communication?
No, you have not, Your Honor. All you've done is return to the home page of that website. It is fundamentally indistinguishable from having a stranger be the second person to access the website. That is not what this patent is about. And the key of the patent, again, it's setting up these facilities so that you can pick up where you left off, so that if you filled out a form, the data can still be there. If you've typed in language on a Word document that's hosted on a cloud, that information can still exist for that specific user. None of those facilities are present with an ordinary URL that's calling up ordinary website.
I hear and understand your argument. You're arguing certain functions that occur with respect to a link. But point me, where in Claim 2 or 16 do we have a term link that has that specific functionality that you're talking about?
Your Honor, again, and I'm going to be firm on this because I really do think it's important. It's not just the language in Claim 2. It's read against the backdrop of the specification in the entire patent.
Okay, so we'll read it against the background of the entire patent. Claim 7 says specifically what you say is implicitly included in Claim 6.
Your Honor, I disagree. What Claim 7 says is it involves a certain use of Claim 6 where information is stored on the host computer and you have the option of restoring the communication connection to the first operating state, which is different than restoring it to even where you left off, and it's different than the option of keeping data hosted on the client device. And again, the key here is that this is setting up a facility.
And just to be clear, in the written description, there is no definition of link such that it excludes any type of URL or shortcut or hyperlink.
Your Honor,
there's no definition.
Well, there's not a definition. And again, the board relied on the definition that Microsoft Secrets used for the purposes of Microsoft Secrets. And again, Microsoft Secrets is not a lexicographer for the 838 patent. The question is what the patentee thought these terms meant. And again, I think it's highly unusual to think that.
Well, it's more not what the patentee thought. It's what the claims read.
Sure, Your Honor, but what they read is very clear. It's referring back to an interactive link, something with functionality, something that is not a URL, as they describe in columns 2 and 3. I see I'm eating into my rebuttal time.
All right, you can save it.
Thank you.
Mr. Kelly?
May it please the Court. Good morning, Your Honors. At the risk of making just a little bit of an argument for opposing counsel, I want to just approach just for a second the distinction between the URL and the link. And the only reason I want to do that is because counsel did make that argument, and that was the sole argument they made to the board. And here's the difference, and I'm going to use an analogy. If you receive an email, for example, and it has a telephone number in it, the telephone number is basically the address of another phone. But that's not a link. But sometimes, in modern technology, your email application will actually read your email, detect it's a telephone number, highlight it, underline it. That's a link. Because if you touch it, and you're using a smartphone, it'll actually initiate a communication to that phone and basically reestablish a link if you'd been on the phone earlier. So the argument that counsel made to the board was that Windows Secrets didn't teach a link in the sense that it was something that you could interact with, but just really taught sort of recording a URL. And the board disposed of that pretty easily because Windows Secrets actually uses the term hyperlink. They actually say you drag it down. They actually say you can touch on it. So I don't think there can be any debate now before this court that Windows Secret doesn't teach a link. So then it brings us really to the heart of his argument now on appeal, that there's two requirements that are present in the claim. And one requirement is this open channel requirement. And counsel just referred to figure 3 of his specification. And that's at page 673 of the record. And if you look at figure 3, it indeed looks like something that sets up an open communication. So you think of a conventional telephone call. Because it says you start here, you initiate connection, and there's all these back and forth, and at the end you terminate the session. But if you actually read the part of the specification that talks about figure 3, what it says is there are some embodiments where you can have these open communications. And I'm sorry, this is at page 684 of the appendix. And then it says in another embodiment, and I'm reading about it line 60. In another embodiment wherein, for example, a firewall or proxy server security platform does not permit continuous open socket communications, a request updates periodically, transmitted by the client computer to the application server 40. In other words, it works the way the Internet always works. There's no open communications in the Internet. It's a packet switch network. Every communication is one communication to the host, another communication back to the client. Their specification makes clear, even when talking about the figure that counsel just pointed to, that that can be an open communication or it can be a one-by-one communication back and forth. So I think that pretty much dispenses with that argument. The second argument that they make...
Can a URL trigger, for example, the opening of an application program?
Well, Your Honor, it all depends where you were when you made the link, right? So let's say, and I'll talk in terms of freeze. So the way freeze works is that a customer, potentially who wants to buy software, navigates to the software store, if you will, and then they pick a particular piece of software, and they can navigate through. And at some point, presumably, there's going to be a link that says, okay, I want to try out this piece of software. If they were to hyperlink that particular link and say, okay, I want to come back and look at this piece of software again, then presumably when they hit the hyperlink again, they're not going to return to, as he said, USPTO.gov. They're going to return to whatever way deep inside the website they were at when they decided they wanted to get back to that place again. So in that sense, Your Honor, yes, I think it would reestablish the exact same communication that was established the first time they went to the link.
Your opposing counsel argued, well, the form would still be filled in under his analysis. It seems to me it's been a very long time since I've seen such such software in existence where when you dropped, you went back and the form was still filled in. Was that explored at all?
Well, so, Your Honor, what you're referring to is their other argument that when you return to the website, the system returns you to the state that you were in when you were last at the website. And that is what is in Claim 7. That is not part of the link. That is the additional functionality provided by Claim 7. And it's not just provided by Claim 7. That's how the specification explains their invention works. And at page 681 of the record, you see column 5 of the specification. Mm-hmm. And towards the top of that column, around lines 5 through 15, the specification describes a link and what a link does. And, for example, that first full paragraph says, the method includes storing on a client computer an interactive link for selectively reestablishing the second communication connection to the application server. But if you keep reading, and you read down approximately line 40 or so, there's another paragraph that says, in yet another embodiment, the method includes storing the application server information representing a first operating state of the remotely stored application and or information for a particular user. And I just read lines 37 through 40. So that's the functionality he's referring to, and it's clearly not part of the link. Mm-hmm. It's not part of the link the way they claimed it, and it's not part of the link the way they described it in their application. So those are really their two arguments. Neither one is tethered to the claim language. Neither one is tethered to the specification. And to be blunt, neither one is tethered to reality.
Are you waiving the arguments with respect to the board's three other grounds of rejection for claims 6 and 20?
Well, Your Honor, we took a close look at the case and determined that this was the strongest rejection of the claims that they appealed. And so following their lead, they narrowed the case quite significantly. We narrowed it also. To be frank, this is a very strong rejection. If for some reason the court were not to affirm this rejection, I'm not really sure the other rejections would get affirmed because they're no stronger than this rejection. We're confident that this rejection is strong enough.
We appreciate you limiting the issues that are brought before us.
If there's no further questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Geiser, you got a little over 2 minutes there.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the Court again. I think that the one important thing that we've heard so far is that nothing that was argued today is actually in the Board's decision. And again, under basic administrative law principles, under Chenery, the Board's decision stands or falls on its stated rationale. So if it needed to rely on Claim 7, that doesn't exist and it doesn't work. If it needed to rely on arguments about freeze or arguments about some of these other points, that just doesn't rely on Windows defining link, a URL to be a link. Again, that doesn't work. But to go very quickly through some...
The problem with that argument is that it also impacts all the questioning with which we began.
Your Honor, I don't believe so because, again, our arguments were preserved, if that's what Your Honor means.
Yes, it's what I mean.
Yeah, well, if I could refer you to pages 5842 to 5843 of the Joint Appendix and 6260 to 6261, you'll see that the arguments that we're making today were, in fact, presented squarely to the Board and the Examiner. But to go through Freeze quickly...
Point us to the best evidence in the specification that supports your argument.
Your Honor, I think that I've gone through some of what we did consider to be the best evidence. I think if you look at columns 13...
Tell me what your best shot is.
Our best shot is if you look at column 13 and if you look at lines 33 through 41, it describes how information is repeatedly communicated back and forth. This gives weight to our reading of figure 3. If you look to column 17...
Give me a line number when you...
Sure, it's 33 to 41, Your Honor.
33, column 17?
Column 13. I was trying to move on quickly to the next site. This is on 685 of the Joint Appendix.
Right, what line?
33, Your Honor.
Okay.
But if I could just move quickly, though, I think that a key point, aside from where what I think, again, and our brief set out why we think we're right on our reading of the patent, but I do want to respond to one thing that my friend said, which is that FreeSee and Windows combined do not get you where the Droplets application does, and this is why. Under Freeze, this is very clear from that case. The remote display...
So if we adopt the interpretation and give it its most reasonable, broadest interpretation and affirm that, then wouldn't you say that the prior art references will read on this pen?
Again, no, Your Honor, because we don't think it reestablishes the communication connection from a prior state. And this is why Freeze doesn't do that. If you look... may I finish the thought, Your Honor?
Yes.
Thank you. If you look to column 9 of Freeze, this is on page 852, it makes it very clear that the remote display module is downloaded each time Freeze is accessed. You can't bookmark an embedded page within the Freeze system. Each time, in order to initiate a communication connection, you have to revisit the website. The website has to send something to the host computer, which then initiates the communication connection. That is very different than the Droplets functionality.
Where were you in column 9?
I was at lines 40 through 45, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Gunn.
Thank you.
Thank both counsel. Case is submitted.